The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Warning. This episode contains foul language, graphic descriptions of murder, and Lauren tells so many lies.
You are listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. This is our fifth week in isolation, so we have not been able to sit down with a friend and talk about something weird. But it's okay, because you are our friends. So really, we're actually getting to sit down and talk to thousands of our friends about something weird, because we are hashtag blessed. My name is Ashley, and joining me today is my co-host, Lauren. She's not here for the intro. We had a couple mic problems last week. We're still troubleshooting Lauren's new microphone and recording in separate homes, but we'll get it down. Right when the shelter-at-home orders are lifted, we'll have it down really well. but until then, we're working hard to get you content, the two of us, because I know you missed her for the 2 weeks that she was gone. Okay, so this week is part two of our mythological creatures episode, and we will be once again exploring the misty meadows of Ireland and the rocky shores of Greece. We didn't go far. Lauren is going to start us off by telling us the tale of Lamia, and I'm going to be talking all about fairies. Just in case you missed that warning in the beginning, I wanted to give you a heads up. Lauren is hilarious this episode, and her mom brain, I think, took over at one point because she tells about 14 lies about the movie Stardust. So as you are listening, please refrain from yelling at your speakers, pulling out your hair, etc., etc., and just lean back and relax and enjoy the flames engulf this beloved film, which neither of us have seen, by the way. If either of us had seen it, it would have gone a lot smoother. Seriously, she was wrong about one thing, and then later about more things, and then after we recorded the episode, we were still on the phone, she realized she was wrong about pretty much everything she tried to correct. I laughed so hard the night that we recorded this, and I'm gonna laugh again as I edit this, so I'm excited. Anyway, we hope you're all hanging in there. We're doing well here in LA. Wilder's walking now, which is insane. Like, he went from a baby in my arms to a 13-year-old boy in the amount of time that I haven't seen him, so I'm pretty heartbroken. And just in case you never stay to the end of the episode, follow us on social media at Keep It Weirdcast. It's at Keep It Weirdcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We really love talking to you guys and hanging out with you there. So the more the merrier. Check out our Patreon. We have bonus episodes, monthly newsletters, and discount codes for merchandise, and you get to support our show even more than you already do. Really quickly, I want to give a shout out to some of our patrons. Please forgive me if I mispronounce your name. I tried my best. So shout out to Sienna Bridges, Brian from Running With Podcasts, Megan Myers, Jessica Keeles, or we'll say Jessica Q, Jesse Winter, Rebecca Fern, Kayla Ling, Audrey McCraney, Aaron Gerds, or Aaron G, Lauren Shapovalov, or Lauren S, Kathleen Finn, Chelsea Duke, and Allison Burns. Those are our latest patrons. We love you guys, and we're more than happy to create extra content for you every single month. If you're a patron and you ever want merchandise from our Etsy store, which you can check out, anyone can check out at www.etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast, make sure that you reach out to us and grab your coupon code, because our patrons get 10 to 20% off of your entire order in our Etsy store. So anyways, blah, 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 enough expressions of love already. Thanks for listening and enjoy the episode. Wonderful Mythological Creatures Part 2.
Here we are.
Here we are.
We made it.
Part 2, but guess what, guys? It's the same night as Part 1.
It's the same night. Let's look down at our phones. Oh, hour and 20 minutes we've been on the phone. One of the longest phone calls I've had. Okay.
You're going to go first today, and I'm very excited to hear about this because I've never heard about it ever once in my entire life.
Yeah, I had only heard mention of it like maybe once and did not look into it at all. So this was a fun little surprise. We are traveling back to Greece, ladies and gents.
Thank God.
We told you it would happen. We're going to Greece. Big surprise with a mythological creature being from Greece. Okay, the only part that's frustrating about this is the pronunciation. So I went to like 8 different YouTube videos and like encyclopedia.com and dictionary.com where they do pronunciations, and all of them for the most part said Lamia. It's spelled L-A-M-I-A.
I don't like that.
And it was pronounced Lamia. I didn't either.
It sounds too much like a part of my body.
Yes, 100% sounds like labia. I'm just going to say it. Ashley tiptoed around it. I just hopped right
in. I don't
in.
Like to speak. Sounds like out loud words associated with my vagina for fear that my vagina is going to hear me and do something awful.
Yes, same. So I didn't like that, if I'm being honest. I wasn't a big fan. So then I went to a couple of other websites and they were pronouncing it Lamia or Lamia, which I like a lot more, but I realized it was because they were speaking in an English British accent. So like, of course it was sounding like it was sounding a little different than Lamia, but I'm just going to go with it and say Lamia because I think that just sounds cooler. It makes me feel safe and not like I'm talking about a vagina. And if anyone wants to write in and fight me, feel free, but I hate you. Okay, so we're going to say Lamia for the remaining time, even though it might be incorrect. Okay, so Lamia is a beautiful part monster, part woman. It is a half woman, half serpent, to actually be specific when I say monster.
That's very much so a mermaid-esque type creature.
It is, which I kind of liked that it went along with that theme, but, some people do say, again, like we said before, a lot of these creatures have different origin stories just depending on the country or, you know, the century even. It depended what time and what period you were in. People say different things. Some people say that she was actually part woman, part sea serpent. So a mermaid of sorts, you could even say, but usually it's snake serpent. So Lamia wasn't always this way. She was cursed with this terrible form. She used to be a relatively innocent woman, and now she is seen as a bloodthirsty villain who slithers through the darkness of night looking for children to eat.
Okay.
That is her thing. That's her jam. Why did I choose her when I'm a sensitive emotional mother? I'm not sure. She makes me upset.
Hold it together.
I'm not going to cry. She slithers through the night searching for children to eat, but during the day she walks in complete beauty. She has her legs, she looks like a woman, and she seduces men to make for her dessert after she eats the children. So she is searching for mostly children as her main course, but she also likes to have an occasional man on the side. Either way, she devours human flesh. And she's, you know, not the best. So, according to ancient Greek tradition, Lamia has the head and breasts of a woman, and the rest of her body is a snake. By some accounts, her form is hideous, but other writers seem to say that they are mesmerized by her beauty, even with the snake part of her body. They say that it's her scales are precious gems, and she sparkles, and she's graceful. So she is either depicted as completely beautiful or basically a hideous beast.
I was
going to
say, what is
beast.
With all these people who are like, maybe she's the worst, maybe she's great. We're not sure.
I know. This is what I hate about this thing. But to me, I kind of, what I saw more of and what I enjoy more, and as we said before, we're kind of going with what we latched onto and the way we want to tell the story. I like believing that she was this beautiful creature because she was able to rope in both children and men alike, which both of them, in those cases, men could be seduced by a woman of beauty. That is no secret. And children also go towards beauty. If there is a good-looking woman with a nice, soft, peaceful voice, she has this look of purity and innocence, and she's saying, you know, come over here, I'm going to sing you a song, I'm going to tell you a story, I'm going to love you. Children are going to go to her. They're not going to go to some old hag. So I like to believe that she was a beautiful creature.
It's sort of like Hocus Pocus, like the come little children. Like,
come little children.
Yeah, it's the same idea.
Yeah. And she looks so beautiful.
Yeah, but even if she was a hag, she could, like, you know, she could bring them in with her beautiful song. She doesn't sound like a hag. Go on.
Exactly. And I think that was sort of what was happening with Latmia. I think she was very Sarah Jessica Parker singing on the broomstick. So that's the vibe she was giving me. Other Greek writers, just to touch on it, because I just feel like sometimes you need to say all sides. Other Greek writers even abandoned the snake body entirely, saying that Lamia's face simply just became more evil and contorted when she was cursed and began her murdering spree. But all stories do agree, no matter if you think she's part snake, a hideous hag, or just an evil contorted face, she was disfigured by the loss of her eyes. She tore them out with the grief of her own children being murdered.
Good.
So let me get into the story. I know. She comes from a tragic tale, ladies and gentlemen. So before you judge her, hear her backstory.
You don't know me.
You don't know me. Okay, so I just lost my place because I scrolled in a weird way. Okay, so Lamia was a queen of Libya. She was the daughter of Poseidon. You guys have heard of Poseidon. Our old buddy Poseidon.
Poseidon,
ruler of the sea.
Who was taken from the Babylonian god of the sea. Go on.
Yes, ruler of the seas. Mm-hmm. She was the daughter of Poseidon, queen of Libya. So her mother remains unknown. There are rumors that it was Hecate. I don't know if I ever... Hectate? Was it that fancy? Or is
no,
it just
I think
Hectate?
It's Hectate, but who knows?
Hectate?
I'm not Greek.
I know nothing of the Greek world. I realized on our Deep Seas episode with Mel, when you guys knew all these gods and goddesses and I was pronouncing them all wrong, that I'm even dumber than I thought. So you can correct me if I say anything wrong. But Hectate is believed to be her mother, and she is the goddess of sorcery. So that is the rumored mama, but they know for sure that Poseidon is the dad. So as an adult, Lamia maintained her connection with the gods. She actually started an affair with Zeus.
No.
Scandalous. No. Zeus himself.
Here's the thing, though. Zeus was kind of a fuckboy.
He was. He was a total fuckboy. So. And so it's not that much of a surprise, no. But it's still like, it's a good story, you know?
It is.
So their affair got pretty hot and heavy, and they actually had three children together. And eventually Zeus's wife Hera discovered her husband's betrayal, and to get revenge, she is the one that cursed Lamia and turned her into a monster. So Zeus and Lamia, first of all, they had children that are still pretty famous. There's Scylla, who is a six-headed sea monster who is pretty famous. I had actually heard that name once before. A sea monster who claimed the lives of hundreds of sailors. Again, what we were talking about earlier, an explanation of what happened to people when they were out at sea. People will reference Scylla, the six-headed sea monster. There was also Cybele, who was the gentler daughter, but had the power to fill your heart with dread just by mentioning your name in one of her prophecies. And then there was Achilleos, the only son of the two, of Zeus and Lamia, who had the beauty inherited from his mother, but used it in the wrong way. Mm. He decided to challenge Aphrodite to a beauty contest. Big mistake. He didn't stand a chance. And because of his mistake, he lost badly, and Aphrodite transformed him into an ugly, lipless shark to
what
roam the ocean forever.
Oh my God, do you think it's that one shark where it's like, it's got those teeth jutting out? Like buck teeth?
Yes, it is, because I looked up a photo.
Oh my
it's the
God.
Buck-toothed weird creature that I think we looked at a picture of on the Deep Sea episode, or we've looked at before for some reason. But it's old Bucky, the weird-looking
we'll
shark.
We'll find a
picture. So that's him. yeah, so that was Lamia and Zeus's kids. But so the rumors are that because of this, Lamia was turned into this monster by Zeus's wife Hera because she was getting revenge, and she made it so that Lamia was never able to sleep, which then Zeus, feeling sympathy, gave her the power to remove her eyes at night. And that's why she is seen with no eyeballs. That is why that is like the picture depicted of her. The belief is that Zeus gave her the power to take out her eyes and sleep, because otherwise her eyes would stay peeled open all of the time and she would lose sleep, which is one of the curses. Also, the very dark story from Hera is that she doomed her to eat her own children. And that is why this eating of the children happened. And that is also possibly a reason why she took her own eyeballs out, because she couldn't believe what she had done to her own children. So always there's all these stories going around.
It doesn't matter. Both are horrific.
Yeah. Either way, any way you cut it, guys, it was horrible. And she was doomed to this life of having no eyeballs, murdering her own children, and being cursed to be a half serpent for the rest of her life, slithering around the earth and finding more children to eat, to feed her hunger, and also to, it was maybe some way to cope with her killing her own children, that she was like, I'm going to kill everybody else's kids. No matter what, it's horrible. So it is also believed that Lamia is the inspiration for many other monsters. She was such a dreaded figure in the Greek culture that people actually began to pluralize her. Even though she was this one Greek character, this one goddess, people will actually say Lamia as a plural. They'll either say Lamia or Lamiae. You've heard it both ways. And it can just mean any sea monster that is known to devour children or devour sailors. Like, she just kind of got turned into other monsters. It is even believed that she was the inspiration for the succubus and even possibly vampires, because she may have sucked the blood out of the children before she ate them. So there's all this talk that she inspired a lot of other things. So she first appeared in the ancient writings of Homer and Horace, and it was a way to frighten little children into good behavior, which we've heard that story, tale as old as time.
Yes.
You need to scare your children into good behavior. So you tell them about something horrifying. Most stories are, don't play too close to the water or you will be dragged in by, you know, a sea creature. Like, I feel like we've talked about that on numerous episodes before. And this story was like, don't play outside late at night, or don't go into this neighborhood you don't know, or Lamia is going to slither around, find you and eat you. That sounds really fun. So, of course, the kids were terrified and they would be on their best behavior. I totally get that. I might tell Wilder that Lamia's real. Like, I understand it. I think it's a good story. And what I think is really cool is, unlike a lot of Greek characters, Lamia wasn't just done at the end of the Roman era and then popped up later. That is what happens to a lot of Greek characters, where we talk about them in the Roman era and then they pop up later in the Romantic period. But she actually popped up straight through the Middle Ages as well, when she was actually persecuted by the newborn Christian church. Mm-hmm. Hey, Christians.
Every time.
They decide to pop up and hate on her and associated her with witchcraft. They called her a witch and that she was evil and something of the devil. And then,
did they ever associate her with Lilith?
Not that I read, but there are a million articles on Lamia, so it's possible.
Well, I was just wondering, because Lilith, who is the first wife of Adam, who is basically crucified by the Christian faith because she decided she didn't want to basically bow to man, because, you know, women were made. She actually wasn't made out of the rib of Adam. Eve was, but she was created as her own autonomous person, and was basically, they were created out of the same thing. So they were equal, but God had said, you know, you do what he says. And Adam was like, yeah, do what I say. And Lilith was like, fuck you both. No, I don't have to do that. Like, why? We are equals. I don't understand why I have to do what he says. So she left the Garden of Eden and she was like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But she's also associated with basically, like, if you're talking about demons, like demonic entities, she's associated with like miscarriages. She comes and she takes the baby, and that's sort of like, she's the demon of miscarriages.
Oh, interesting.
But she's also,
I bet there is a connection.
Yeah,
there.
She's also depicted as very serpent-like. She's actually depicted very much so like Slender Man, like very slender with like tentacles.
Ugh.
So I wonder
which,
if
no,
they,
thank you, but
are related.
I bet there is some sort of relation. I didn't see that in, like, I read, I still have the links open. I read maybe 3 or 4 articles and didn't see that right off the bat. But I bet with more digging, I guarantee there would be a connection there. Because that, they sound almost exactly the same. I didn't see a connection to miscarriages with Lamia, though. But it just said that she would take actual children, young children. But there's definitely a relation there, which I like. That's interesting.
Anyways, go on.
So, yeah, through the Middle Ages, persecuted by the Christian church, even into the Renaissance, where she was brought back to life in paintings and texts. People loved to paint her, and why wouldn't they? A beautiful woman with your bottom body, a serpent. And then into, following the Renaissance, she came into the Romantic period with a lot of poets and painters. Mostly, the very famous John Keats was obsessed with her. And his writings about Lamia actually became the description and the picture that everybody latched onto because he wrote such a beautiful description of her. And I actually wanted to read it because it's very lovely and it's just sort of how everyone grabs onto her and thinks of her. So John Keats wrote, "She was a Gordian shape of dazzling hue, vermilion spotted, golden green, and blue. Striped like a zebra, freckled like a pard, eyed like a peacock, and all crimson barred. Full of silver moons that, as she breathed, dissolved or brighter shone or interwreathed their lusters with the gloomier tapestries, so rainbow-sided, touched with miseries. She seemed at once some penanced lady elf, some demon's mistress or the demon's own self. Her head was serpent, but ah, bittersweet! She had a woman's mouth with all its pearls complete. And for her eyes, what could such eyes do there but weep and weep they were born so fair?" It was just so pretty.
Wow. She seems like a very tragic character. It definitely doesn't seem like a malicious character, which was the same with Lilith. Like, Lilith was basically, she left the Garden of Eden, so she was banished from heaven. She could never go to heaven. And she was sort of like, then, you know, obviously, depending on who you talk to, like, either God cursed her and made her the woman who's involved in miscarriages, which is like a horrible, tragic thing to do to her for just saying, like, I want to be equal to man. Or that's just total bullshit. And that's something that the Christian church was like, this, she left the Garden of Eden, so we're going to make her fucking evil.
Exactly.
It's tragic either way.
It's so sad. Yeah, it's a horrible tragedy because these women really, they're not malicious or evil in any way. But, and that's the thing. That's what is tough about Lamia. She did have an affair. So I guess in some way she did something bad. But really, she fell in love with this man, Zeus. And yes, he happened to be married. He had a wife, but she fell for who she fell for. She had children with this man. She was in love and he was the only one in her life, despite what he was doing and being a fuck boy, and then his wife happened to be the one that put this curse on her. But what I love about Lamia is that she doesn't get revenge on women, even though Hera was a big old bitch and ruined her entire life and doomed her to this life of being half a serpent and not having eyeballs and everything that's wrong with Lamia. But Lamia goes after men and children, who are the two things that she was hurt by in her life. Yes, it wasn't the children's fault of anything that happened, but like the devouring of the children was a traumatic moment for her that then bled into, you know, her the rest of her eternity. And a man, Zeus, Mr. Idiot, also ruined her life. And so then she wants to go out and devour men. So it's like she took the two things that hurt her the most. And I kind of liked that she was still a girl's girl. She didn't go after the women.
No, no.
She went after men and children because she was like, women are strong. It's the guys who screwed us over. So that's really who I'm going to go after, which I liked. I don't know. I enjoyed that part of it. That was kind of what I latched onto, whether that's right or not. I enjoyed that part of the story. So
I was going to say something about Christianity and treating, obviously you said that they obviously adapted Lamia and decided like she was evil. They then one completely erased Lilith from the Bible as opposed to telling her story. They just cut her out. But also you look at things like Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene checks off every single box for sainthood. every single mm-hmm. one. And she's actually known, yeah. most scholars believe she was Jesus's most trusted disciple of all of them. She was the one that he trusted the most. And most people yeah. don't even believe she was a prostitute. Like, just reading the ancient texts, like, it doesn't actually seem like she was a prostitute. But even if she was,
a lot doesn't point to the fact that she was at all.
But even if she was like Jesus's most trusted friend. She checks off every box for sainthood. I guarantee Mary Magdalene had a book in the Bible, and it has since been, you know, quote unquote lost,
destroyed. Yeah. Oh, we couldn't find it.
We no, couldn't I agree find with that it. As you well. Know what? We lost.
I couldn't find it. I'm sorry. Yes, I agree completely. Yes, these are all such good points. Lamia. This girl. There's so much to say. She actually got her reputation as a seducer and a man-eater later on in the myths. It was always known that she was a devourer of children, as I said, because the story came out to warn children to be on good behavior. But it added so many stories to her legend when she came out as a seducer and a man-eater. And as I said before, I kind of like that it was added to her story that she attacked men, because it's like Zeus did her wrong. He is the reason for all of her troubles. So I'm kind of happy she's going after these idiots. So she actually had two pretty famous affairs with Menippus and Lysias, who are apparently pretty famous men in the Greek god world. Again, I don't know a lot, but Menippus and Lysias, she seduced both of these men after shapeshifting into a woman's form during the day, and she actually convinced both of them on separate occasions to marry her.
Hey.
But, I know, I was like, get it. But sadly for Lamia, both marriages were interrupted by a wise sage who came and warned both of the men of their danger before Lamia had a chance to turn their honeymoon into a bloodbath. So, womp womp, she didn't
I
get her
I wonder who sent those sages.
I know, exactly. Who could it have been? So her plan didn't come out. It was real sad. But Lamia's legend still lives with us today. As I have been saying and saying, she has stood the test of time. She's made it through every period. People love writing about her. She has a fascinating, tragic story. She has a really weird, you know, afterlife, I guess you could call it, with her new form, you know, the way she slithers around the earth and the lives that she takes. So her legend still goes today. And even in just the last two decades, she's appeared in many short stories and novels. She was in a TV series and a movie written by Neil Gaiman. The movie was called Neverwhere, and the TV series was called Stardust, or maybe it's the other way around. Yeah, I think maybe Neverwhere was the TV series.
Yeah,
and Stardust
well,
was the movie.
Neverwhere
yeah.
is a book too.
It is a novel, mm-hmm. yes, and it was made into not a great show, I don't think. But Stardust, it sounds like a lot of people like. I was looking it up a little bit.
Is that
and it
the one
like
with
had...
Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert De Niro?
No, it has Sienna Miller in it, though. She's like probably the most famous name. Sienna Miller, and then I didn't recognize any of the other names, but it has a little bit of a cult following, it looked like, so that was kind of cool, and Lamia is heavily referenced in there. And then I looked up, I was looking for all these modern pop culture references. She has been referenced in some modern rock songs.
Hell yeah, she has.
Including a song literally titled Lamia by Genesis in 1974.
Wow.
Gabriel was fascinated by her and wrote about her and wrote like this entire tale. Like the entire song is just about a man being seduced by serpent women in a pool and how he made the decision to go in there because they were calling to him. And that is literally the whole song. It's just like about a man on his journey with the Lamia, the Lamia, the Lamia, whatever you want to call her. But she has stood the test of time, y'all. Peter, Gabriel, Genesis, writing about her. She's everywhere. I think she's super cool. I didn't know a lot about her, so I was excited to do some more research, and she's definitely an exciting character. And that is that.
I love her because
I am
a huge fan of reading stories about like scorned and cursed women. And the reasons for which they were scorned or cursed, which are never good, really. Usually, most of the time, it's like, really? That's why you fucking cut out her eyes and made her eat her own kids? Really? Okay.
That's why I had to do it. I mean, Hera needs to get some chill.
Yeah, maybe you could have just, I don't know, like made her infertile. You know what I mean? Like, which is horrible. It's horrific.
It's still very sad. But like, did you have to? Yeah. She lost her damn eyeballs. She turned into a half snake. She had to eat her own kids and eat the rest of the world's kids. Like, relax, Hera. I know you were hurt by Zeus, but maybe give him a punishment, right?
Yeah, that women never punish the man. It's like, oh, my man cheated on me, so I'm gonna scorn this woman. It's like, bitch,
right?
She didn't do anything to you.
This is why I keep shouting out to Lamia, is that she still stayed a girl's girl, even though Hera was the one who was terrible to her. She was like, you know what, at the end of the day, it was Zeus who made the bad decision. It was Zeus that called all of this, so I'm going to go after some dudes. Like, I loved that, but she didn't go after the gals.
And she Zeus could have easily stopped Hera from doing that.
100%.
But you know that he was like, no, baby, like, I didn't know. I didn't know. We didn't know.
We had three kids together, but, like, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I tripped and fell, and we ended up together.
Right into her lamia.
Oh, and it all comes right back. Oh, yeah, his stupid lame gift was, let me give you the ability to take your eyeballs out so you can sleep at night, which I don't think is the best solution to that curse.
No, but I feel like you could have done something else, Zeusy.
Old Zeusy pants. Yeah, I kind of more believe the story that she gouged her own eyeballs out of her own grief and depression from having to kill her own children. Because
probably Zeus wasn't going to do
shit. Maybe Zeus is that much of an idiot. I don't know. Anywhoozle.
I think that is Zeus probably that story. Was like, who? Lamia who? I don't think he did anything for her.
Never heard of her.
Yeah, never heard of her.
He just he stepped out of that situation. He's the worst.
Well, that was wonderful. I really liked hearing about Lamia.
Yeah, she fun. She real fun.
I'm going back to Ireland.
What? Let's go back to Ireland.
Yep. So another legend that I'm obsessed with, specifically one type, but I'm going to get into that later, are fairies.
Hooray! I do believe in fairies. Let's do this.
Also known as the Fae. And just looking at the word fairy, F-A-R-Y is how we spell it today usually, but it comes from the word fairy, which is F-A-E-R-I-E, which derives from the Latin word enchantment. So fairies have always had a strong implication of magic, and the word fairy is sort of an all-encompassing word for otherworldly spirit beings.
Okay.
So OG fairy legends, like everything else, probably came out of ancient Greece. So here we are. We're mixing the two. We're mixing the worlds together.
I like it.
Greekology had, tons of mythical beings, like nymphs, for example, which are some of my all-time favorites. Nymphs were usually young, beautiful women, of course, who lived and cared for all of nature. There were water nymphs, tree nymphs, rock nymphs. My favorite depiction of nymphs comes from Disney's Hercules. I don't know if you remember.
Philoctetes
is spying on the nymphs, and they catch him, and then he runs to try and catch up with them, and they turn into bushes and trees. And I think, what does he say? He's like, nymphs. Can't keep the hands off me or something. And then the tree slaps
something
him.
Along those lines. It's like the perfect, it goes over your head when you're a kid, but you really like it as an adult.
Exactly. Disney's good at throwing those in for you.
I know. I really love it. I need to watch Hercules, by the way. Sorry for that side note, but I miss it.
It's probably one of my favorites. I think that Disney's Hercules is so brilliant. One, because it actually does teach you about a lot of Greek history and Greek gods and the relationships they had and the world of the Greek gods and goddesses, but also the music.
The music is everything.
It's amazing. Making the what are they called? The muses. Making the muses a choir was brilliant.
Yep. 100%.
And I cry every single time.
The Muses were the best part of the entire movie. Yeah, it's so good. I love watching those women come together and just sing like the soul and all of the music. It's so good.
We are the Muses. Yeah, it's amazing. Anyways, fairies. The Romans also had creatures that could be classified as fairies, including elves and valkyries. But legends of fairies as we know them, tiny little winged magical creatures, comes out of Europe.
Okay.
So back in the day, before we knew stuff about stuff, a lot of things were attributed to spirits and magical beings. For example, arrowheads that were found in Britain and Ireland originally were believed to have been made by elves.
Oh.
As opposed to, you know, older generations of Irish and British people. And the fact that a lot of these were found in forested areas that had not been industrialized in any way, that was what lended credence to these older races, these older beings with special powers being pushed out into and also connected to nature.
Yes, that makes sense.
Also in the 1500s, we had Shakespeare, who wrote a play called A Midsummer Night's Dream, which was full of... It's so funny, this line I wrote, which was full of them fairies, which I think was a mistake, but it's hilarious. It was full of them fairies.
Full of them fairies. Them old fairies.
Most notably, Titania so and Puck. So I love Midsummer Night's Dream. I mean, Shakespeare is hard for a lot of people.
It is.
Which is why I like movies that kind of like trick you into watching Shakespeare. It's like, hey, here's 10 things I hate about you. It's totally not Taming
Did
of the Shrew.
Know it was always Shakespeare. Yes, exactly. I completely agree. I think it's so smart that like very now famous rom-coms basically all come from those writings pretty much. I'm pretty sure She's the Man with Amanda Bynes is also based on
It is.
One of Shakespeare's writings, but I forget which one. Wait, is it Twelfth Night?
Twelfth Night. Thank you. But still,
yes.
Shakespeare.
Anywho, yes, continue.
So fairies originally weren't really imagined with wings. So I know earlier, I don't remember if it was this story or yesterday's, last week's, aka last episode we recorded tonight, you mentioned leprechauns. If you think of leprechauns, they're technically fairies.
They are.
They don't have wings, but I think the wings came from bugs, basically, like bugs that would fly around you in the woods, like dragonflies, or bugs that would light up at night, like fireflies. I think that's basically what gave fairies wings, because people would see them and say that's a fairy.
Okay. That makes a little bit of sense.
At the time, there were also legends or knowledge of things like cherubs and cupids already. So like flying little humanoids wasn't a huge stretch for anybody.
Right. Yeah.
In Ireland specifically, this is where you get the legends of fairies being like a complete race of beings. They have their own customs and culture. There are different kinds of fairies that do different things. And Ireland's belief in fairies is actually so strong that it still exists today. There are many places in Ireland that are known to belong to the Fae.
Okay.
And it's actually extremely frowned upon to disrespect the Fae, even today in 2020.
Ooh, don't mess with the Fae.
Do not. The Fae are a lot like our Native Americans, only they are way more respected by Irish people than American people respect our real natives, but it's...
I was going to say, our country is a bunch of monsters.
It is what it is. America sucks. But fairies were basically the founders of Ireland. They were the first people to inhabit the land. And they were known as the Tuatha De Danann, and they were a race of supernaturally gifted people. They were kind of elf-like. They were basically somewhere between humans and angels. They kind of had a connection to both.
Okay. I love that.
They are connected to the other worlds that are around us at all times, other dimensions. They can go in and out of the dimensions. They can get things from other dimensions and bring them here. And actually, True Blood took a lot of their fairy folklore straight out of Ireland, which was really cool to learn, because watching the fairy season, I was like, what the fuck is happening? And now I'm like, oh, they took everything straight out of Irish lore. That's way cooler, actually. I wish I had known
that. I
agree.
It was like, it didn't seem like the fairies that we all know and pick out of movies. I mean, I feel like my connection to fairies is Tinkerbell and Peter Pan, so I don't really know anything about fairies, but that makes a lot of
sense. Yeah, now thinking back, I'm like, True Blood took everything out of like legitimate like fairy Irish lore, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to Ireland, you can actually see where the Fae used to live. You talked about it in either this episode or last week's episode. There are over, it was last week's episode, it was when you were talking about banshees. There are over 60,000 Wraith in Ireland, and Wraith are also known as fairy forts or fairy mounds, which is what you spoke about.
Yes.
They are, there's kind of two different kinds. They're the mounds that are the like mass graves of the noblemen. But there's also mounds that are basically circular settlements that had earth walls. So either a ditch or a moat or sometimes a stone wall.
Okay.
And usually at the center, there was a large hill. And most of these Wraith date back to like 500 to 900 AD. But there's also some evidence that they may even date to earlier prehistoric times. Like they are old. Geez.
Old as shit.
And you best not touch them. Don't touch them. Mm-hmm.
Don't go near him.
Don't even. Why? Don't even sleep next to him. Don't even look at him.
Oh gosh, what happens?
So there are folk tales of people falling asleep next to a Wraith, and having vivid dreams of partying the night away. And when they wake up, they've been asleep for 10 years.
Excuse me. How? Why?
Which when, again, what? If you think of True Blood, remember sometimes they would like go into another dimension. Right. It would just be a big, huge party.
Yeah,
and that's sometimes how they would lure people in. Anyways.
Yep. That makes sense.
Everyone should just go watch True Blood.
Hey, everybody, go watch True Blood immediately and come report back to us. Let's chat about it.
The path between the forts or the hills or whatever, or between the forts and nearby trees even, are known as fairy paths. And actually, those who build their homes on these paths would suffer sickness and misfortune. Like, they would be ruined until they left that home or destroyed that home. Or maybe for the rest of their life. I don't know. That wasn't clear. Like, don't build your home on a fairy path. If you do want to build a home and you don't know if it might be on a fairy path, you should first test to make sure it's not. And to do that, you would place small little piles of stones on each corner of the proposed home. And if the stones were still there in the morning, it's a safe place to build. Like, if they were not disturbed, then you could safely build your home there. Which okay. also then reminded me of the Blair Witch and her little piles of stones like everywhere.
I didn't like those little stones sure didn't. And sticks. They rubbed me the wrong way.
So now that I've given you kind of the brief history of fairies, there's a ton more lore, legends, etc. about fairies. And there's so many little subsets of fairies. Like I said, you know, their banshees are technically a form of fairy, leprechauns. Nymphs, there's a ton. But I wanted to talk about a very scary fairy known the Changeling.
Okay. I don't know enough about changelings, and I'm so excited to hear more.
Changelings are creepy. They are, well, depending on which culture you talk to, they're seen as fairies, trolls, goblins, and even demons in some cultures.
Wow.
The earliest mention of changelings seems to come from medieval literature. It's also found in folklore all throughout Europe. And a changeling is believed to be a fairy child or demon or troll or goblin that's been left in place of a human child that was stolen by fairies or demons or trolls or goblins. So essentially, this, whatever you want to believe it to be, it was originally fairies, but again, many cultures have adapted it, you know, and made it demons, trolls, goblins, whatever, come in,
right.
Take your precious baby, and replace it with one of theirs.
Oh, I hate it.
It's pretty creepy.
So it's just like the movie Changeling.
Yes, I'll talk about the movie Changeling, actually, and like why it's called the Changeling, because most people don't really understand why.
That's so horrible.
It's really bad.
I hate it.
So the history of changelings, unfortunately, is pretty dark. I'm going to focus on Ireland since I already did with the Fae, but I'll kind of mention some others. In Irish legends, a changeling is identifiable by several traits. A fairy child may appear sickly and won't grow in size like a normal child. The fairy child may be disformed or behave differently than other children. They may display intelligence far beyond their years or not advance in intelligence when they should. And I'll come back to that. But the reason that the human children were taken, it was for several reasons. Depends on who you ask. Maybe they were taken to act as a servant. Maybe they were taken as an act of revenge against the parents. Or, you know, if it's a demon, then sins of the parents.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, it was believed that the very elderly of the fairy people would be exchanged in the place of a human baby.
Okay.
So that they could live out the rest of their days in comfort. Or, this is especially with trolls. Trolls actually wanted their children to have human upbringings because it was better than being a troll. So they would, some people actually believed, this is weird, and I'm sure this is demons too, but trolls especially, some people believe trolls would take unbaptized children.
Oh.
Because once they were baptized, they couldn't exchange them.
They couldn't touch them.
So like sirens, changelings probably never existed. The theme of the swapped child is so common in medieval literature because it reflects concerns over infants who are born with unexplainable diseases, disorders, or even developmental disabilities. Mm-hmm. For example, a child born with autism or Down syndrome would be believed to have been a changeling and not a real child.
Oh.
Yeah, or a baby even born with jaundice or colic.
So they would basically be like, this is a changeling. This isn't my child.
Yeah, this isn't my child because look at it. Oh, it's so sickly. Sad. Or look at it. Like, it's not, it doesn't understand. Something's wrong. Yeah, something's wrong with it. Changelings also existed in a time where life was rough in, like, pre-industrial Europe. So if you were a peasant family and you had no money, the family's entire existence depended on the productivity of every single member of that family. And it was difficult to provide for a person in that family who is a permanent drain on the family and their little resources that they had. So changeling tales, along with other historical evidence, suggested that infanticide was frequently the solution, which for anyone who doesn't know what that is, they would kill the babies.
So sad.
Thinking that they were, you know, not babies.
It's horrible.
Germany's history was particularly brutal when it came to changelings. In every culture, there are several, like, methods used where you could, like, identify a changeling and mm-hmm. even, like, replace it with their real child. Like, if you could trick the changeling into revealing itself, they would have no choice but to bring back your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And in Germany, especially, those included tempting to heat a baby in an oven.
Why? No. Why does Germany love ovens? I hate them.
Or
stop with people in
hitting
ovens.
And whipping the baby. They thought that that would cause the baby to reveal its real self. But in most cases, it killed the baby.
Oh, surprise.
But it was sort of like witches, where it's like the baby would die, but it would be like, well, the baby's dead. Right. The changeling's dead. It's not my child.
Right. Ugh, that's so sad.
And a lot of people, you know, think that this is all folklore, but before you go thinking that, there are historical records to back up all these stories. Actually, in 1826, a woman named Anne Roche was charged with the murder of a 4-year-old boy who was unable to speak or stand, and she bathed him in a river 3 times, attempting to drive the fairy out of him, and on the 3rd time, the boy drowned.
Mm. Well,
and she was actually acquitted of the boy's murder, so the fairy defense worked. Like, people were like, oh my gosh, like, it was a changeling.
Oh my god. How?
And that's not the only time. In 1985, that is not correct. It has to be 1885. I wrote 1985, but that can't be right. And if it is, holy shit.
It just happened, guys. It just went down.
In 1885, oh, Bridget Cleary, she was an adult woman. She was a young woman, but she was killed by several people, including her husband and her cousins, after a short bout of an illness, which was probably pneumonia. Someone in the town had accused Bridget of being a changeling. And even after the woman's death, they were all convinced that they had killed the changeling, not Bridget herself.
Oh, boy.
They believed that they basically did a good deed. They killed the changeling and not her.
Good for you guys. You're heroes.
So now, if you rent either of the movies titled The Changeling, expecting to get a story about fairies, you will be disappointed.
It is not about fairies, ladies and gentlemen.
There are two. One is The Changeling, made in 1980, starring George C. Scott, and it's a fantastic haunted house / horror / suspense / thriller movie, and I highly recommend it. Did you ever watch that? Did I let you borrow that?
I don't think so.
It's great. You should watch
it. I need to watch it.
I think it's on Amazon Prime. It might also be on Shudder, but it's a really, really good horror movie about a man who moves into this home that's haunted, but he moves in there after the horribly tragic death of his wife and his child.
Okay.
And he begins to experience paranormal activity and sort of like a mystery. He like actually tries to figure out what's happening there and why it's happening. And it's really good.
Okay. Need to see
And
that.
It's George C. Scott. So he just screams all the time.
Yes. We love the shouting of George C. Scott. That's what we need.
And then the other is Changeling, made in 2008, Changeling. Which is...
I have seen that
I one. Haven't. I own it, and I've never actually watched it. I mean, I know everything that it's about. I just haven't seen it, right. But it...
I mean, it's so sad and horrible. But.
Yeah. It's a story that we've discussed on the show multiple times. Chicken coop yes. murders, specifically the woman whose boy was taken, and the police returned a different child to her. And when she told them it wasn't hers, they basically said, take him home and try him out. So she had to take a strange child home and pretend it was her child. And when she fought the police, they put her in a mental institution. And this is a real story.
It's real life, ladies and gentlemen.
How is the movie?
It is fine.
Yeah.
I think just because I knew the story already, I liked seeing the story play out on screen, so I enjoyed myself. And I mean, I do like Angelina Jolie, even though I think she's a little bit of a controversial actress. I always think she does a really good job in her performances, and I thought she was very believable and tragic and did a great job as the mother. It ended and I was sort of like, that was fine. I probably won't watch it again for a very long time, but I didn't hate my life while watching it.
It's directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Who is kind of pretty hit or miss. He's either like, oh, that was a really wonderful movie, or like, that was a little
100%
too hokey for me, sir.
That is the best. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think I wouldn't call this a miss. I would say for the most part, it's a hit.
It's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie. It was fine. I did enjoy seeing the story played out. But yeah, it's just so upsetting.
Do they go into the chicken coop murders or is it mostly about
this
woman?
They don't. It's mostly about the mom.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's just sort of like alluded to. But yeah, it's all just the mom. It's mama's life and just her like trying to fight the police the entire time and being called crazy, which just... That, I think that's the struggle of the movie is you're just so frustrated. You're just on the edge of your seat. Like, someone listen to this woman. I'm so angry. But I thought Angelina did a great job in that character. So it was enjoyable.
All right. Maybe I'll watch it. I have the DVD literally in the other room. So.
It's ready for you.
And guess what? I have all the time in the world. So why wouldn't I watch it?
All this time suddenly. I have updates for... Lamia, whatever you want to call her. So I don't know if you were still wrapping up fairies or not, but once you're done, I already have updates for 10 minutes
Hell
ago.
Hell yeah. So I, the only thing I was going to say, I have a lot to say about tooth fairies, but if you want to hear about it, you're going to have to head over to our Patreon because I'm talking all about teeth.
Ew.
In this month's bonus episode, teeth are weird and creepy, and they have a very rich history involving the supernatural. So I'm excited to talk about
it. Are you discussing teeth with Amy?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to bring over my, because I had I had a good chunk of notes on the history of the tooth fairy, but also like the history of like using teeth in general. So I'm going to talk about it there.
I already know you and Amy will do a wonderful, creepy, hilarious job on teeth. So everybody needs to tune into that. Go to our Patreon. Guys, I have updates. Already.
How could you possibly have updates on a creature that hasn't been around for a millennium?
Because I typed in Lamia and Lilith while we were on like a little like breather, like in between stories. And then like I was listening to you talking and then I pulled up Wikipedia to be like, oh, did anything pop up? And indeed it did. So I just wanted to kind of update on that. You know how I was saying how Lamia can be referred to in a plural form as just like being a half woman, half monster, like out in the sea, whatever. So I guess in certain translations of the Bible, Lilith is referred to as being a Lamia, as being a seducer of men and a devourer of children. And they just kind of loop her in with that group of half woman, half monsters. So you were absolutely right. Lilith,
as usual.
I know. You were actually right twice because I have a second update. You were right about the connection to Lilith. I had never even heard of Lilith. I used to call myself a Christian woman and I didn't even know of
well,
her.
Well, to
Adam's
be
story.
Fair, it's more of a Hebrew Bible thing because, like I said, the Christian Bible, they like got rid of it altogether.
No, totally. But even so, like now that I'm seeing like little bits and pieces of her story, I'm like, how did I not know about this? This is a great story. So now I'm into it. But she was basically referred to as being another Lamia. And then Ashley being correct, number two, when you said a Robert De Niro and Michelle Pfeiffer in Stardust, they are. But I, because I was just grazing over it, Sienna Miller is the star of it, but Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert De Niro are in it as well. But look, I saw the cover of the movie, which heavily features Sienna Miller. But if you look at, like, you know how all movies have like three or four optional covers? They're yeah. on like cover number three, but they're looking real spooky and serious in the background of this photo. Like they're about to do something really bad to Sienna Miller. So they are indeed in that movie.
Hell yeah.
Ashley was right twice.
I keep saying hell yeah because my friend Austin, who refuses to come on the show for some reason, and I'm going to hold him to it. Eventually, he's going to have to come on because he's so funny.
He is so funny. I just spoke to him earlier today,
and he always says that. He's always like, hell yeah. And now I can't stop saying it.
No, it's a habit. And you should say hell yeah in celebration because you were correct about those two things. And I feel so bad for being like, Michelle Pfeiffer is not in this movie.
I've never seen Stardust at all, but I remember the cover because when it came out, I was working at Family Video. I was working at a video rental place in the Midwest called Family Video. And I remember that cover being there. But I just assumed it was a different movie called Stardust.
No. Yeah, because when you said that, I was like, I swear it only said Sienna Miller. It's Sienna Miller and that guy from, if anyone has seen Love Actually, which if you haven't, what planet are you living on? But the guy who sleeps with What's Her Toes from The Office. Have you seen it?
The Office?
Like, they work not from the show The Office. They work in the office together.
Laura Linney.
Laura Linney and him sleep together. Yes.
If you want to put this with the Greeks and the Romans, he plays Xerxes in 300.
He does. Yes. That isn't even better. I feel like for our listeners specifically, that's probably a better connection. But I just think of him as Hottie McHot-Hot in Love Actually. And they actually don't sleep together because they're interrupted by the phone call from the brother. And it's so upsetting because she devotes her whole life to taking care of her special needs brother. And I'm really upset about it. But anyway.
Lauren, you've had a hard day and you don't need to go down this road.
I know. So anyway, Hottie with a Body and Laura Linney. It is him and Sienna Miller who star in it. I quickly glanced at the movie cover and saw their faces, but upon further research, Robert De Niro looks weird AF also on this cover. Like, he has a mustache that I'm not interested in, and I think we're going to have to post the cover on our Instagram.
That I'm not interested in.
I am not into this look, but I think we need to post the cover on our Instagram when this episode comes out.
Maybe that'll be the cover of this episode. It'll be our faces imposed on the cover of Stardust.
Oh my God. It would be perfect because Sienna Miller and Hottie are in the front and Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert De Niro in the back. So we can put our faces up front while they're looking over our shoulders.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, Ashley, I'm so excited. I can't believe they're in this.
Did you watch Sabrina?
Wait, are there new episodes?
No, I just mean like the TV show Sabrina, like seasons 1, 2, or 3.
I have seen 1 and 2. I don't think I've seen 3 yet because I didn't love 2 as much as 1. And so I sort of was burned out.
Here's the thing. 3 is not even as good as 2. And I hated 2. Like Sabrina is, I hate watch that show.
Yeah,
I hate every single episode I watch and I keep watching it. But the principal, that's Lilith.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, okay, okay. I'm into it.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense. No, I love that. I really enjoyed season 1. I was obsessed with season 1. And I really want to like 2 and 3.
But... I liked season 1, but here's my problem with Sabrina. It was so cool. I mean, so cool. It's a tale as old as time. We all know Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But I just thought it was... That idea is so interesting.
Yeah.
Of having a... teenage girl who is a witch who is in high school and she's having to deal with like relationships with people like boyfriends and friends and like balancing her life as a high school student, which is already like really stressful and horrible. And then also like trying to figure out like whether or not she wants to
go
into a life of witchcraft, blah, 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 blah. That's fascinating. And they did that for one season. And then all of a sudden it was like, now I'm the devil and now I'm in hell.
Yep,
and
it was like, what the fuck? Yeah, it took such a dark turn.
I just didn't understand why they did that, why they progressed so quickly, because now it's like, okay, where do you go from here?
And it didn't feel connected at all to season one. It was sort of like, no, I think we all liked it because I enjoyed seeing like also the high school life and balancing both of that. It went so crazy so fast. And I could barely keep up and I didn't really like the way they took it, but I'm still probably going to watch season three because we have all the time in the world.
True. I mean, season three takes place, a lot of it takes place in hell, which is okay. And then also there's a musical element that I wasn't into.
Oh, well, see, I might actually like that part. You may have gotten me there. Now I'm excited again. So we'll see.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Thank you so much for listening to our show week after week. Thank you for hanging out with us on social media. Thank you for telling your friends and family about us. And thank you for heading over to our YouTube channel to support our new segment,
What Was That?
As well as our OG segment,
This Week in Weird.
We appreciate you and all that you do for us. So stay safe, stay healthy, and stay sane. And follow us on social media at Keep It Weirdcast across all platforms. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast to find ways you can donate to our show, get bonus episodes, get discounts on merch, and receive a monthly newsletter. And check out our Etsy store at etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast. Get yourself some of our new merch designed by Brandy Systrip. It's an amazing moth with the body of a cat skull, and it's totally metal, but also beautiful, and we couldn't be more thrilled.
It's wonderful, and you all need to see it and wear it on your bodies.
And thank you to Katie Rains for always helping us with our fonts and designs. These two women are angels floating on clouds, and you should follow and support them all the live long day.
Yes, ma'am.
Our sign-off this week is... we already did one sign off today. This isn't fair. Well, you know what I would like to hear? I would like to hear you say Keep It Weird in an Irish dialect, please, and go. Oh,
you're so rude. keep it weird. I have to do the O ahead of time because I get my Irish accent from the movie Luck of the Irish, as all of our listeners should know if they're diehard listeners, and I do it from, oh, saints preserve us. So I have to do the O to get into it. Oh, keep it weird.
I do a hoity, 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 keep it weird. Yeah.
That's so good.
And that's the end of our show.
Okay. Keep it weird.
And thank you for heading over to our YouTube channel to support our new segment called
This Week.
What was that?
Wait, you said new segment.
No, new segment, as in like brand new segment.
You should not edit out any of this, just so our listeners can hear how dumb we are.